Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to show number 253 from Engage for Success. I'm Jo Moffitt. I'm host for today's show. And today we're going to be talking about the topic of queen bees, specifically queen bee syndrome and how it hinders the advancement of women. So if you're not quite sure what we're going to be talking about, well, stay tuned because I think you're going to find it very interesting. And as we discuss it, I think you will recognize what it is that we are going to be talking about, and all will become clear, and I hope also will become clear what we can do about it and why we need to do something about it in terms of organisational and personal professional performance and success. So to help me explore the topic, I'm joined by this week's guest, Cecilia Harvey, who I will introduce in a moment to you. I'm Jo Moffitt, and as regular listeners will know, I'm one of the co-hosts of today's of the radio show for Engage for Success. I am founder and managing director of Woodread, and we use brand to help our clients develop high-performing cultures inside their organizations. So a topic that I think will be very interesting, certainly one I'm looking forward to learning more about. So welcome to the show, Cecilia.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And I know this is a topic that you believe passionately in, both from a professional perspective in terms of your own professional background over the last sort of 20 or so years, but also particularly in terms of you practicing what you preach in terms of the work that you're currently doing. So Cecilia, for those who aren't familiar with her, is founder and CEO of an organization called Walking Red, and she's also founder of Tech Women Today. So perhaps by way of an introduction, Cecilia, you could tell us a little bit about your background, and then also just a quick overview of those two different organizations.
Oh, great. So as you said, my name is Cecilia Harvey, and I've worked in banking technology and just banking in general for really over the last 20 years. And what I've done recently with Walking Red, I'm the founder and CEO. I'm very proud of that, not only because I was able to start my own business. We focus on mobile beauty and fitness services. But also what we do is, as an organization, is really help to support women in their careers in these areas, and just all of our artists, as I call them. But it's really important for me to make sure that we're doing the right things and giving people a career and helping to develop them along the way. And Tech Women Today, because of my background in technology, I didn't want to just start another Women in Technology group. I felt there were so many great organizations out there doing incredible work. What I really wanted to do with Tech Women Today was start an organization where it brings together female entrepreneurs who are non-technical with women that do work in technology, and really expand what we mean by women in tech. It's not just, are you a coder or are you a computer programmer, but it's also women that are working in social media, in data, in all of these different areas within technology, and in all different sectors, from art to fashion to finance to communications defense. So I really wanted to broaden that definition and make sure that technology is being leveraged to help female entrepreneurs grow their businesses.
Right, right. So tech women, not necessarily tech women, i.e. they're techie women who are, as you say, coders, but women working in tech as well. So it kind of works both ways. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, maybe I should take this conversation offline with you a bit, Cecilia, because one of the things that we're doing at Woodread at the moment is developing a new tech platform to deliver our our products and our IP. So maybe I could do with a little bit of collaborative support from your network as well. But that's probably a conversation for another day. Okay. So, and I know as we go through the next half an hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about Walking Red and Tech Women Today, and how you, as I said at the opening remarks, practice what you preach within those two organisations. But perhaps let's kick off first of all with a little bit of a definition. Could you? What do we actually mean by queen bee syndrome?
Yeah, because there could be quite a few different ways of looking at it. But with Queen Bee Syndrome, what we mean by that is really those women in the workplace that really treat their colleagues in a demoralizing, undermining, or bullying manner. It doesn't necessarily have to be a woman that's more senior within the organization. It could be a peer. It could be somebody more junior to you. But one of the things that we really wanted to point out, particularly with Queen Bee Syndrome, is that if women are really going to advance in the workplace, women need to support other women. And I thought that this was a very important topic to address because through my work with Tech Women Today, with Walking Red, and definitely from my 20 years of working in financial services, I've seen it where a lot of women aren't necessarily supportive of other women, and that's really a shame. Women should really see each other as allies and not as competition. And if we're really going to make improvement of women getting to senior levels within organizations, this is something that organizations and people as individuals need to address.
It's interesting you should say that because I was listening to a totally unrelated field, but Serena Williams was being interviewed yesterday. She was talking about the tennis, the French Open in Paris at the moment, and she was saying how so often the press like to portray her as having rivalries and really quite passionate rivalries with the other women on the circuit, and how she doesn't really like them. And I can't remember which one it was particularly, but she was saying, you know, this is just so not the case. And she actually said something very similar to you. She said, you know, women need to support each other. Women need to encourage each other. Women need to help enable each other to achieve the highest standards. And she was really quite keen to sort of dispel that myth about her in the tennis field. So it's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, and it's a topic that as you can see, like it definitely is something where it's relevant to all industries. It's something that people deal with at all levels, at any point within their career. I mean, Serena Williams, as accomplished as she is, for people to think that she's a queen bee, for a woman that's done so much to help other women and encourage other women, especially within the sport and tennis and just beyond, be an inspiration to people. Yes, I think that it's something that I think it's wonderful that she's brought that up and that she's addressed it. And then it is something across all industries. Women need to support other women if we're really going to advance and really establish ourselves within any organization, any industry, any sector.
So how would we identify a queen bee or queen bee-like behavior?
True. Yeah, queen bees are interesting. Usually they'll be the people within the organization where they're usually women where they don't really support definitely other women, but also just other people in general. They'll view other people as threats. They're the ones that are more credit takers rather than giving credit to other people within the team that have also made a contribution. They're not likely to put people forward for certain projects or other things that can really help somebody else within their career. They'll usually try and take those things for themselves. Rarely will you hear them talk positively about others. It's that sort of behavior where it really comes down to, in many ways, a lot of insecurity. And it's something that it's unfortunate because women usually, the reason why Queen Bee Syndrome can be the biggest hindrance for women advancing in the workplace is because with behavior like that, queen bees aren't likely to get the sponsorship or the support necessary to get promoted within an organization because of this negative behavior. And also, queen bees often prevent other talented and up-and-coming women from advancing within the workplace.
So they don't get to rise on the shoulders of giants.
No, not at all.
they keep them down there. Interesting. A couple of questions that spring to mind from that, Cecilia. I can understand how somebody in a more senior role could demonstrate the symptoms that you've described and almost you know, pull up the drawbridge behind them, or not just necessarily for women either. I think you've made that point that they will take the credit for everybody. It's not necessarily a sex thing on their part. But how would a junior person, a more junior person, display the symptoms if they're not in a position where they can, you know, give out projects and give recognition and things? How do you spot it in somebody at a more lowly level?
That's an excellent question. As I said, it doesn't have to be somebody senior. Somebody more junior or peer can easily character assassinate you by spreading rumors, by if somebody does speak positively about you, saying something negative, and in the workplace, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. gossip is rife. So those things can really hurt an individual. If one of your peers or a junior person hears about a particular project that you would probably be great for, and they're talking to somebody about it, they're probably not going to say, "Oh, well, you know what? Joe would be a great person to do that." No, they're probably going to try and tear you down and say,
right.
"Well, actually,
right.
You know, I've heard this about Joe. I've heard that she's not a great person to work with. Oh, I've worked with her before, and you know, she's very like." You know, she's very bossy. I don't know. She's like, people don't really like her. I haven't heard great things about her. So there's a lot mm-hmm. of damage that peers and even those more junior to you can do within an organization. Sometimes those could be the most dangerous queen bees because they feel like they're trying to climb to the top and they don't want anybody taking their spot, and they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that they've reached that one spot. And the reality is, there's not just one spot. There's room. There's plenty of room for many people, especially many women, to be successful with an organization and powers and numbers. So that's why women need to encourage one another, support one another, because there's nothing better than to celebrate the success of another woman, and there's nothing more inspirational.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly get that. So Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, is that about encouraging more queen bees to create themselves, or is it actually a more collaborative approach, or does it not touch on this at all in any way?
I don't think Sheryl's book touches upon queen bee syndrome anyway. Sheryl's book is great because I think that one of the things that it does do is encourage women to really look within themselves and, as the book says, lean in and do what they can to make sure that they're progressing their careers in the right way. Similarly with queen bee syndrome, a lot of women probably aren't even aware that they are queen bees, or they're not aware that this behavior can be detrimental to their own careers. So I definitely encourage women to seek some sort of 360-degree feedback on their behavior and how they engage with people within the workplace, and to really mm-hmm. sort of take a self-assessment of themselves to see if they are demonstrating any of these behaviors that can really not only be a detriment to their career, but also hurt the career of others.
It's interesting, isn't it? I wonder if it's a function of women feeling that when it comes to behavior modeling, they have to model themselves on the role models they see, which in historically have been more male orientated behaviors, and so they tend to adopt those more aggressive and take no prisoners approach. I mean, I can understand it would be equally as damaging if it was a male queen bee, you know, if you see what I mean. But I wonder if that's what causes it, because it's a role model, a lack of effective role models. What do you think about that?
There can be that's one of the reasons. There's a lot of research out on this, you know, what sort of creates a queen bee. I've seen a lot of it where it's a lot of insecurity, which stems from, mm-hmm. you know, feeling like they have to put on a certain type of behavior. They have to protect their position in order to be successful. That's where I see a lot of it coming from, where they feel mm-hmm. like, where they view other women in particular as competition, and feeling like they need to take out that competition in order for them to succeed. But the reality is that you shouldn't have to bring somebody else down in order to build yourself up. And a lot of senior a lot of organizations, they're starting to see this, and they're starting to address it within leadership programs, and just as managers within organizations, just being able to identify it and stamp it out is very important, because mm-hmm. queen bees can do a lot of damage to an organization. Mm-hmm. Because if many of them are leaders within an organization or managing other people, it can lead to situations where people don't want to work within their teams. People are leaving organizations. And ultimately, it really helps hurt the advancement of women in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. And how widespread is this kind of behavior in your view, Cecilia?
I think that I have to tell you, Joe, like I speak at a lot of conferences and just with the work with just working with women within Tech Women Today and just other organizations I'm a part of. It is pretty out there. It's not something new. It's something that, you know, just continues in all organizations. I mean, it starts as early as the playground, right, with mean girls. And the queen bees are just those women that grow up to be the mean girls that just grow up. And now they're in the workplace and they're just more calculating. So it's something where it's just always out there. And it's something, but it's something where organizations, one can really do something to address it within their organizations around leadership training and other support, whether it be coaching for senior women within their organizations, so that people can understand what these behaviors are and do something to address it.
So it's not specifically, there aren't particular industries where you would say this is more prevalent than others?
No, because I don't think that it's even necessarily something where it's an industry where if it's a male-dominated industry, then you're likely to have more queen bee syndrome because there's less women. I mean, I've talked to women that work in fashion where it's predominantly women in that industry, or PR or other industries where it's a high percentage of women, and same situation where it's something that they have to deal with. And it's something where it can really impact their work life.
Yes, yeah. So I suppose if we're talking about the fashion industry, I'm thinking of The Devil Wears Prada as a film and the Meryl Streep character in that. Now, would that Meryl Streep character in that film be an extremely overdrawn version of what you're talking about? So a caricature, extreme...
Yeah, and in some cases, in some situations, it's not too extreme. It could be quite normal.
Really?
Normal, but it definitely exists within organizations. Yeah. No,
right.
I think the Devil Wears Prada is a good example of Queen Bee syndrome.
Rightio. Okay, so let's turn to some answers then, because I think we've probably got a reasonable idea now of what it is we're dealing with. So first of all, from an organizational perspective, you've touched on a couple of things, but could you perhaps just share a little bit more about what an organization needs to do to sort of head this off at the pass, really?
Yes, I think that, you know, managers need to be able to understand that this behavior is happening and ultimately what they can do about it. If managers even see this type of behavior, they definitely need to stamp it out, address it with that particular female, and let it know that that type of behavior is not going to be tolerated within the organization. Also, I think that organizations should really take seriously the 360 feedback received. So 360 feedback is usually where you get feedback from not only your managers, so those that are senior to you, but also your peers and people who are junior to you. And it's important that that feedback is anonymous, where people feel that they can be honest not feel as if, exactly. And then giving that feedback to the queen bees and letting them know that this is something that can definitely have a negative impact in terms of their career advancement. Also within just coaching, I think that a lot of organizations, whether it be through leadership training or coaching, these behaviors can really be identified and stamped out. Mm-hmm. So many organizations, they can have very generic type of coaching and training, but I think that particularly for women and advancing the workplace, there are consultancies and organizations that focus on these types of topics. And I think it's important that if you're going to improve the pipeline of women in your organization reaching senior levels and senior positions, then this is something that you definitely, as an organization, want to make sure that you're addressing in your training.
Right. And in your experience, Cecilia, would say I am demonstrating all of the or many of the symptoms of this behavior. Am I likely to be aware of it? Is my queen bee-ness putting me in a position of total lack of sort of self-knowledge and emotional intelligence about the impact of my behaviors?
That's a good question. I think it can go either way, where you could have the situation where they know what they're doing, they're quite calculating about it, and unless somebody very senior stops them, they're not going to do anything about it. That's hopefully a very extreme case. And then you have many situations where it comes down to insecurity and fear from what I've seen, where, you know, a lot of very intelligent, capable women, they're scared that they're not going to be viewed as senior enough. They're not going to be viewed as the person who deserves that top job. So they're demonstrating these behaviors, which are ultimately causing them to be perceived in a very negative way, not only by their peers and those that are junior to them, but also senior managers who are going to make those decisions.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So from a personal perspective, then what can people do? So you've touched on the things that an organization can do in terms of managers needing to look out for it, making sure there's a process for 360-degree feedback, which is actually taken seriously, and also thinking about coaching around and training around leadership behaviors, perhaps quite specifically around these sort of areas. From a personal perspective, let's assume I've realized and have now, you know, the light has, you know, I've seen the light and I've realized that I'm behaving fairly appallingly, and I'm actually in a sense of personal ambition, I realize that actually this isn't going to do my career any good if I continue to behave like that. So what can I do to change myself if I feel that I'm being a bit of a QB?
Yeah, I think if there's somebody who's identifying themselves as potentially being a queen bee, I think one of the first things that you can do, it's one of the best investments that one can make within themselves, is, you know, get a career coach. Many different coaches are out there, and it's always helpful to get a recommendation from perhaps the human resources department within your organization or somebody you know that has had success with a career coach, and really tap into those reasons why you're demonstrating that behavior, and understanding how you can tweak that behavior, because that's very important to get that coaching necessary so you understand how you can change certain behaviors. If you're in a meeting and all of a sudden somebody is challenging you, there's different ways in which you can handle it rather than getting that sort of feeling where it's like, oh my goodness, I need to defend myself, I need to be super, super aggressive and or just go after somebody. There's a way where you can channel that energy in a different way and make it more positive, but it's really about identifying those behaviors that can really trigger that queen bee syndrome, and usually a coach is going to help you to do that. I think that that's very important. And then also take advantage of leadership training courses, whether it be within your organization or outside of your organization, so you have an understanding of how to work with different types of people within your organization, how to develop teams, how to really develop people, because that's when you become a real leader, when you're viewed as somebody that people want to work with and people feel inspired by you rather than scared of you.
Intimidated. So yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So I think that's what one thing that people can do if they identify themselves as queen bee. If you're somebody who you're like, oh my goodness, I'm working for a queen bee, can't do it. How can I neutralize the situation? They're coming after me and I don't know what to do. I tell people definitely develop yourself. Sign up for training courses because that allows you to really improve your industry knowledge and skill set. And once you have great skills, nobody can take that away from you. The second thing is really expanding your network. Join professional networks and at your company or within your industry so that if you have somebody outside of this queen bee that you can go to, that you can have advice from, that you can leverage to really help be a sponsor within your career. Which leads to the next thing around finding sponsors. I think that not only does your boss should be a sponsor for you, so if your boss is a queen bee, there's probably other sponsors within your organization. So definitely develop strong professional relationships with senior decision makers, and because they can really help to influence your career. And I think the last and the most important thing about working with a queen bee is do not react when provoked, because the one thing that queen bees love to do is push your buttons and get a reaction. So stay calm. Don't show any emotion. Always be polite. Never engage in any gossip or petty talk. And really use your energy to develop yourself and expand your network. And that's really how you neutralize a queen bee.
Right, right. Okay, that's interesting. Very interesting. Useful stuff there, I think. So we've got just a few minutes left. We've got about 4 minutes left. And I guess what it would be kind of useful just to close with, Cecilia, if we may, is a couple of things really combining into one question. So have you got any great stories about, you know, a queen bee scenario that was really quite bad, and then what happened, you know, how it was resolved perhaps? But also I promised at the beginning that we'd just talk a little bit about Walking Red and Tech Women today, and perhaps finishing really with a little bit of sharing what it is, how you apply this thinking in your day-to-day work there.
Yeah, I mean, my experiences with Queen Bee Syndrome have definitely been a part of making sure that I don't repeat that behavior, especially within Walking Red and Tech Women today. So I've had female bosses that they would love you and they wanted to help you as long as you were the underdog and in their shadow. But the moment you started to shine, they'd really want to put you back in your box. And also with peers, I mean, I've experienced a mean girls culture in which certain female peers would make sure that I felt included. I wasn't getting the invite to after work drinks or lunch with other colleagues or just really spreading untrue gossip and speaking negatively about me to colleagues. So with Walking Red, one of the key things, because so many of the people that work with Walking Red are women, I have such an interest in their careers and really making sure that I'm creating a platform for them where they can develop their careers, where they get known as artists for their particular aesthetic, their style of doing hair, their style of doing makeup, their style of doing yoga, things like that. It's very important for me that they are able to differentiate themselves via the Walking Red platform as artists with their specific skill sets and helping them in any way I can to develop that. So that's very important. And then as a female entrepreneur, and because of my background in technology, I feel quite comfortable with tech, but I also recognize that if you're going to be an entrepreneur and you're going to be successful and you're going to grow your business, technology is a key part of that, whether it be from your customer relationship management to managing your data to your website development to using your social media to how you run your operations to cybersecurity. Entrepreneurs have to have an understanding of these types of subjects. So I thought, you know what, I want to create an organization that's not only going to help women in tech, but it's also going to help non-technical female entrepreneurs to realize their dreams and grow their careers. So that's really how Tech Women Today was born. And everything that I do, I try and go back to my mantra, if you want to say, of women supporting other women, and it's something I'm passionate about, and it's something that I'll just continue to work towards.
Absolutely. Okay, that's fabulous. So when you talk to most women, I mean, as we've been going through this half hour, I've been thinking back over my working life, and I can absolutely remember working with some QBs over the years. Do most women you talk to say, oh, God, I recognize what you're describing?
Yeah. I mean, and many are still experiencing it on a day-to-day basis. But I think the important thing is that it's not them. It's a reality in the workplace, and it's something, there's things that we can all do to stop it and to really make sure that it's not impacting women from advancing within the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been fascinating. I thought it would be. So thank you. It's lived up to my expectations, Cecilia. Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Cecilia, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Goodbye, and thank you very much.
Thanks.
Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.